se no di qua.
باب سجود السهو وغيره من سجود التلاوة والشكر. The topic is on سجود السهو and other than سجود السهو such as سجود التلاوة and شكر. The author begins it with سجود السهو. He said أن عبد الله بن بحينة عن عبد الله بن بحينة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى بهم الظهر فقام في ركعتين الأوليين ولم يجلس فقام الناس معه حتى إذا قضى الصلاة وانتظر الناس تسليما كبر وهو جالس وسجد سجدتين قبل أن يسلم ثم سلم أخرجه السبعة. وهذا اللفظ للبخاري. وفي رواية لمسلم يكبر في كل سجدة وهو جالس ويسجد الناس معه مكان ما نسي من الجلوس. Now, sujood sahwi, this is the frustration of forgetfulness. As we all know that we are all human beings. And human beings, we are subject to errors, we are subject to forgetfulness. We forget a lot. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in authentic hadith, which Ibn al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala authenticated in Sahih Jami, that ma min abdin muslimin aw mu'minin illa wa la'u zambun ya'ta'duhu al-faynata bayna al-fayna. There is no a believer except that he has one sin or the other that he does every now and then. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now said, أَوَّ مُقِيمٌ عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. They will continue to do it to the day of Qiyamah. Now say that, وَإِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِ, this is a shahid here, وَإِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِ تَوَّابٌ نَسْقَاءٌ إِذَا ذُكِّرَ ذَكَرَ. That the believer is tawwab, the one, whoever does any wrong thing, so he will do tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will not justify the evil deeds that he has done. Nasa'un, he forgets a lot. Idha dhukira, whoever is what? Reminded. Zakara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said that idha masfa'un, طائف من الشيطان تذكروا فإذا هم مبصرون. That is, whenever they are affected by طائف من الشيطان, affected by anything of شيطان, تذكروا, they remember. So this is what human being for us. Whether errors or mistakes, you fall in one mistake or the other, whether you like it or not. So you forget, you forget as a human being. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also forgot in his salah. He made a mistake in his salah. And the companions called in attention on some occasions. In one of these occasions, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ Ansa kama tansawun. A woman just like you, I forget the way you forget. Faida nasitu, whenever I forget, fadhakiruni, remind me. So this establishes the fact that human beings forget some things that are what compulsory on us to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish us for that. Inna Allah رفع عن أمتي الخطأ والنسيان وما استشروا عليه الله سبحانه وتعالى أبلغ the punishment of my ummah on what they make mistake on or what they forget or what they are forced to do. So based on that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the tongue of his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to spread sujood al-sahwi. When you are in salah, if you make one mistake or the other, what you do in order to rectify that mistake that you have watched, you have done or committed. Our act in salah, they are either arkan or what? Or wajibat or what? Sunan. That is when you come into salah. When we talk about shurut of salah is not the salah itself. When we talk about the salah itself, our act either what? Arkan or wajibat or sunan. Or you call it mustahab. So these are our acts. The one who forgets a ruknu, what will he do? The one who forgets a wajib, what will he do? The one who forgets a mustahab, what will he do? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed to punish us, that when you leave what ruknu in salah, who will stop Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from that? But a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when we make mistakes or we forget, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us something as what a substitute to rectify that thing in order to disgrace shaitan, in order to disgrace Iblis, as we shall see in some of these ahadith. So it should be noted that the one who leaves something that is a killer, take for instance someone who does not say ihram from the beginning of the salah, such a person will have to start afresh, because that is what is a pillar and it's what the beginning of the salah. So the one who forgets to say takbiratul ihram will have to start afresh. The one who forgets to recite Suratul Fatiha. Suratul Fatiha is not the beginning of our salah. Such a person, what will he do? Sujudu Sawi? No. Sujudu Sawi is not the first thing for him to do. Sujudu Sawi is not the first thing for him to do. What it should be is for him to bring back that Suratul Fatiha. Why? Because it is a pillar. The one who forgets to do ruku, sujood al-sahwi is not the first thing. He should bring back that ruku. The one who forgets to do sujood, or instead of doing two sajda, he does only one. Sujood al-sahwi is not what to take care of that. We will have to bring that in first. We'll have to bring it back first. Then he will do sujood al-sahwi. I hope that is clear. So I'm trying to present this thing in such a way that we make it what? Easy for us to understand. When you leave some of the things that we have said, they are pillars in salah. You forget to recite Surah Al-Fatiha. You forget to do ruku. You forget to do the sajda. And some other things like that. Maybe you forget to, when you raise your head from ruku, you forget to stand upright. When you raise your head from sujood, you forget to sit upright, and so on and so forth. All the pillars. When you forget to do any of the pillar, sujood al-sahwi is not the first thing. Though you will do sujood al-sahwi, but it's not what? The first thing. The first thing is what? For you to build that pillar that you have left. That is the first thing that you have to do. You build that pillar that you have left. That's the first thing. This is with the consensus of the scholars. To bring that to the first. Sujood Sahwi will not take care of that. This is with respect to somebody who forgets. But the one who deliberately leaves out what is a pillar, either that person, either that thing, that pillar is something that is agreed upon, then we have to watch his solar, his batila, that is one. Then it's also sinful. It's also sinful. If that thing is something that is agreed upon as a pillar, for instance, he will be judged according to his own words. That thing, according to your own plans, do you consider it as a pillar or not? If yes, then you will be taking based on that. If you leave that in deliberately, then he has no solar. At the same time, the solar is what? Bathula. I'm saying this because there are some things that scholars do not have what agreement upon. Scholars disagree on some things. They have agreement on upon what? Some things. Issues that scholars have agreement upon. The one who goes against such a thing, such a person has destroyed himself. Based on what? The verse of Manusha Fikr Rasul, Min Ba'adi Ma Tabayi Diyana Law Huda, Wa Yastadi Ghera Sibidi Al-Mu'minin, Nuwalli Ma Tawalla, Wa Nusli Ija'annam Wa Fa'at Nasira. Whoever contradicts the messenger, after the guidance has been made known to him, that this is what the Salafus Salih, they are upon as far as this matter is concerned. This is what the companions of the Prophet of Allah are upon. After the matter has been made clear to him, the text is brought to him. So he has said to me again, I'm not going to take this. I'm taking this way. Allah says, Nuwali Matawalla. What he chooses for himself, Allah says, we abandon him with that thing. When we see Jahannam, I will cause him to enter Jahannam. And that's what Nibu Abud. Now, things that the scholars disagree upon, it is compulsory on students of knowledge to look which one is what is stronger. Not that what, since scholars have disagreed upon it, you can choose anyone. No, you can't choose anyone. It is part of what the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on us to choose what the closest to the truth. So you endeavor to know which one is stronger or is the strongest of all these varying opinions. Now somebody who according to what is stronger to him is that so and so is what a ruknu, for instance, or is wajib, then he should what? Act based on that. Not upon what other people feel. It's upon what he's convinced of. Not upon what other people have said. So and so has said this is not wajib. And so and so has said what is wajib. No. What is clear to you as a student of knowledge? If what is clear to you as a student of knowledge is that this thing is wajib, then it is wajib. And you have to act in accordance with that. If I take what is clear to you, that is what sincerely, not based on how people have taken this way, let me take this way. What is clear to you sincerely, you are going to be judged according to that. But when we call it follow the something that appears to be the most learned looking. You get it now. Now what is the difference between a mukallid and somebody who is what? A mutabi. There is a difference. The difference is that the reward of a mutabi in the sight of Allah cannot be likened to the reward of a mukallid. Those who know and those who do not know, they are not the same in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهِ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. So that's why being a student of knowledge is what is a blessing and is also what is pride. Unlike being a muqallid. The reward of the Mukallid is not the same thing as the reward of the Muqtadi. So I'm happy to know that there are some issues that scholars agree that this thing is watch. This thing is a pillar. Why they disagree on some other things? There are some people that agree that these things are wajibat, while some say no, they are not wajibat, they are mustahabat. So you will operate based on what is clear to you as students of knowledge, as the search for evidence. So the one who leaves something that is a pillar in solar deliberately is what sinful, at the same time the solar is what bad pillar. But the one who leaves something that is what compulsory, something that is a pillar in solar, if solar is not yet bad pillar, he should bring that thing that he has what missed, then he will do sujood sahwi after that. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us as a solution for our forgetfulness. But if that is done deliberately, then that renders that ibadah invalid and renders the owner of that ibadah as what? As a sinner, if not a kafir. But if that thing is something that is mustahab, if that thing is what, something that is wajib, rather, then sujood sahwi is enough. You don't need to bring that thing back to him. Take for instance, if some scholars have said what Sami'a Allahu liman hamida is what is wajib, Rabbana wa lakal hamd is what wajib, tashahud, the fourth tashahud is what wajib, and so on and so forth, things that we have mentioned as wajibat in Allah. The one who forgetfully leaves any of these things does not need to bring them back. Rather, sujood sahwi is what? Enough. Sujood sahwi is what? It's enough. As long as they are not arkan, they are not killers. They are only wajibat. They are only what? Wajibat. He asks what is the difference between wajibat and arkan. The difference is that what? Wajibat, if one forgetfully leaves them, you will have to do sujood sahwi in their place. Why arkan, if one forgetfully leaves them, sujood sahwi is not enough. You will have to bring them back, then you do the sujood sahwi in addition to bringing them back. Two things. So we need to differentiate between arkan and what? Wajibat. Both of them, they are the same in that the one who deliberately leaves wajibat and the one who deliberately leaves arkan, both of them have no solah. They are in the same what in this aspect. But they differ with respect to the one who forgetfully leaves them. The one who forgetfully leaves them in arkan will have to bring them back, then we'll have to do sujood sahwi in addition. While in wajibat, we'll have to do sujood sahwi only in place of the thing. Then the third one is what? The sunan. The sunan, if one leaves a sunan deliberately, do they affect the solar? No. The one who leaves a sunnah, when I say sunnah here, I'm referring to sunnah mustahabba, not sunnah wajiba. So the one who deliberately leaves what is sunnah mustahabba, deliberately leaves what is sunnah mustahabba, is not what? Sinful in the sight of Allah. Neither will have to bring it back. Neither will have to do what? To do the sahwi compulsorily. Majority of the scholars have the opinion that one who leaves sunnah mustahabba forgetfully now does not have what? It's not compulsory on him to do the sahwi. It is what? Recommended for him to do sujood sahwi. Take for instance, somebody forgets to recite another surah after surah al-Fatiha. The surah al-Fatiha, the recitation of surah al-Fatiha is what? A pillar.
hein, il faut que nous. Now, after finishing the surah, the person does not recite any other chapter after it or any other verse after it. If he does it deliberately, it's not sinful. Then he does not have to do sujood al-sahwi. If he does it forgetfully, then they say it is recommended that he does it. If he doesn't do it, it does not affect his salah. Because in the first instance, what he has left is what? Something that is what? Sunnah mustahab. All that is clear. There are some things that we do in salah that are what? Sunnah mustahab. So the one who deliberately leaves them, no problem. The one who forgetfully leaves them, it is recommended that he does what? Sujood al-sahwi, according to what majority of scholars said. If he doesn't do it, it does not affect them. So this is just the preamble. Now, we look at the ahadith to see how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam practiced sujood al-sahwi. With respect to wajibat in salah, with respect to arkan in salah, with respect to mustahabat in salah. And Abdullah ibn Buhayna, from Abdullah ibn Buhayna. Buhayna is the name of the mother. The linguist or the grammarian. When it says somebody is Abdullah, for instance, Ibn. Abdullah ibn, take for instance, Ibn Sofiyya. That means that name is what? It's not the name of the father. But if it is the name of the father, they will say what? Gun. They will remove what? The alif. So if they put the alif, that means that name is not, it's not the name of the father. Is that clear? If the Ibrahim is not the name of the father, it's the name of either the mother or so. Is that clear? So you can say somebody is what? Abdullah Ibn Sumayya, for instance. Ibn Sumayya. Meaning you are referring to the mother. So the same thing applies here. So, committing the alif is a mistake. So, Abdullah ibn Buhayna. Buhayna is what? The mother. Is that clear? You put alif there? Well, that would be typographical error. The scholars have explained it. Like, you do what? Ibn. Yes. Not the name of the father. Now, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى بهم زور. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم led them in زور prayer. فقام في ركعتين الأوليين. Instead of sitting after two rakah, as you all do, after two rakah you do what? You sit and you also do what? Tashahud. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم forgot to sit and he forgot to do tashahud. ولم يجلس, he didn't sit. فقام الناس معه. The people also rose with him. Since he was what? He was the imam, that is one. Then he was a messenger. So possibly something has happened. Maybe the new wahyu is what? He should pray this way. So the people also followed him. فقام الناس معه. حتى إذا قضى الصلاة. He finished the prayer. وانتظر الناس تسليما. So the people were expecting that he should do what? Taslim. You know, thinking that what? Maybe the salat, the structure has what? Been changed. And you know that after four rakah, the next thing is what? Taslim. On top of the nas, Taslim. The people were expecting him to do Taslim. Kabbara, he made takbir, wa huwa jalisun, why sitting? Wa sajada sajdataini qabla an yusallima. He now made two prostrations before تسليم ثم سلم سيدنا عبد الوهاب تسليم أخرجه سبعة أم الكتبي وهذا اللفظ للبخاري these wordings are the wordings of بخاري وفي رواية لمسلم in the report of Muslim يكبر في كل سجدة at the prostrate edge say الله أكبر وهو جالس وسيتين ويسجد الناس معه and he will make sujood and he will do sujood with him مكان ما نسي من الجلوس to take care of what the sitting that he had what forgotten at the same time the tashahud you know he missed tashahud he also missed what sitting so that was what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did so firstly the companions they expected him to sit after the two rakah as usual but he didn't do that he didn't call his attention possibly wahi as what has come so when they expected him to also do taslim he did not do taslim rather as he was sitting he did what he said Allahu Akbar and he prostrate he raised his head then he said Allahu Akbar again so fi kulli sajda so he was doing takbir after that what did he do he did taslim when did he do the two sajda before taslim after tashahud he didn't miss anything out here as in his structure what did he miss out the fourth tashahud and what and the sitting so if they ask you what he has done or what the Prophet of Allah Salaam did is that omission or addition
it's omission
what did he do when he omitted he made prostration before the taslim before the normal taslim he didn't do two taslim here he only did one which is the normal one so what he did was what to do two sajda before the normal taslim in order to take care of what the omission with that the omission is it a pillar is it a rukun or a wajib based on what
wajib
why to be a pillar what will have happened he will bring it back since he didn't bring it back rather what he did was what he used the two sajda before taslim to replace the omissions that shows what the wajib that he has left that shows what his wajib that he has left or we say sunnah but what is more correct is that what tashahud is wajib why is tashahud is wajib who can remind us of that because of the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud kunna naqul qabla an yufrada alayna tashahud we used to say before tashahud is made what composition exactly so it is wajib that he has met and the two prostration that he did before taslim take care of what of the wajib he did not bring the wajib this is where the scholars got the evidence that somebody who leaves wajib forgetfully sujood sahwi will take care of the wajib we are still going to get to the place that somebody who leaves rukun will have to bring it and the hadith supporting that he'll have to bring it then we'll do sujood sahwi after that but yet he leaves wajib since his wajib is not rukun sujood sahwi take care of it then the Prophet Allah Salaam did sujood sahwi after or before that shows that if one wants to draw another principle there that if the omission if there is what an omission of something that is what wajib in a salah the sajda the Sujudu Sahwi comes before the normal Islam. Exactly. However, there are some other hadith concerning Sujudu Sahwi, not this particular one now, not the hadith of Abdullah ibn Buhayna. There are some other hadith that has made some scholars, you know, to go wrong, so to say, in some of what their position concerning Sujudu Sahwi. Al-Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala was of the opinion that all sujudu sahwi should be what? After the taslim. The question is what? What about this hadith of Abdullah ibn Buhayna? In Hanafiya, they will interpret it in such a way that will agree with the hadith that they have watched, they have stand or stood upon. But a student of knowledge, regarding the available hadith on this issue, will say no. The position of the Hanafiya that the sujudu sahwi should be after taslim is what? That all sujudu sahwi should be after taslim is what? Is not correct. On the opposite side, the Anabila, they are of the opinion that all sujudu sahwi should be what? Before taslim. All sujudu sahwi should be before taslim. But how we can relate with some hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did sujudu sahwi after taslim? So some of them interpreted the hadith in such a way that we agree with what? The hadith that what? They have used as what? Evidence. The Malikiya, they have the opinion that what? Sujudu sahwi, if it has a result of what? If it has a result of what? Omission, then to be what? Before the normal testing. If it's as a result of what? Addition. It will be what? After testing. So trying to what? Use all hadith. Why some other scholars said that if one should restrict to areas where the Prophet of Allah did sujudu sahwi before, if such a thing happened to you, take for instance, what happened to the Prophet of Allah in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Buhayna, if such a thing happened to you, you do exactly what the Prophet of Allah did. Here is where the Prophet of Allah did sujudu sahwi after taslim. If such a thing happened to you, you do similar thing. Then I say, areas where we have omission, but not the type of what omission of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Or we have what addition, not the type of what addition of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Or we have doubt, not the type of the doubt of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then you are mukhayyar, you are free to do it, whether before or what after. This is the position of Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala and some other scholars. He say, it is what is better, one is to do it the way the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it. But if areas where the person did not mention, then you do it the way you fail. In other words, it is better for somebody who is a student of knowledge or for somebody who knows what the Prophet did at a particular time, that you should learn those areas or those things so that you will both be in line with what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. So this is about what? About four positions. Sheikh Ismail ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala said, no, you have to do it the way the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it. If you don't do it the way the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it, then you are wrong. But what we just described our point is that somebody who's supposed to do sujudu sahwi before taslim, before the normal taslim, now does it after the normal taslim, that there is no harm. Somebody who's supposed to do
sujudu after the normal taslim, not does it before the normal taslim, they say what? There is no harm. All of them, almost all of them agree on that. They only disagree on which one is what? Al-Afdal. I hope you understand that. And I feel it's better for you to do all to do the sawi after. The Hanafiya after. The Hanafiya they say what? Before. The Malikiya said, so if it is omission, before. If it is the other, after. So some said, no, what is better is that what? You stick to the way the Prophet did it. What happened to the Prophet exactly if it happens to you, treat the way the Prophet has done it. Why can you find something that they know it is compulsory? Not at what? It is what recommended to do is that way. So we benefit from this hadith that the Prophet Allah Sallam is also a human being. He forgets as we also forget. That is with respect to things that are what is better. So with respect to the wahyu that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Anukruha, wala tanfa illa mashallah." So what? Read this into you, wala tanfa, and you will not forget. Expect what Allah wills. And what Allah wills, Allah says, "Manansak min ayatin aw nusya, nati bi khayrin minha aw umithya." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the right thing. And will not forget what he's supposed to deliver to the people. That doesn't mean that the Prophet will not forget after he has delivered to the people. As once he said to somebody, he said, yani, zakatani ayatan kuntu nusituha. You have made me what? To remember a verse that I've watched, forgotten. So, like when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was leading the people in Salah one day, and, you know, he was confused in his recitation. So after that, he said to the people, Alaysa bil qawmi Ubay, is Ubay not your miss? Ubayu is the one that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Akra'ukum Ubay. Said one with what? The best. Not best as in which the sweetest voice, no, the best as in terms of what, with respect to recitation, he said, Afra'ukum Ubay. Then he talked about Ibn Mas'ud of the line, as he said, whoever loves to recite the Quran, Ghaddan Tariyan Kama Unzil. Whoever wants to recite the Quran, the fresh, it has been reviewed, Faliyakra, Ala Qiraati, Ibn Ummi Abd. You should recite the way Ibn Ummi Abd is what reciting. That is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. So the Prophet of Allah sallam said what? Alaysatul qawm Ubay. Isn't Ubay amongst the people? That shows the Prophet will forget. But he will deliver what? So he may forget some things, maybe during his recitation. That is what? Is not an eye. Because in Nama and Abasharun, Miss Doko, Ansa, Kana, and Saul. Faiza Nasitu, for that you. I'm a human being like you. I forget where you forget. So if I forget, please remind me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Kul in Nama and Abasharun, Miss Doko. Yuha, Laya. أنما إلهكم إله واحد فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه. So we benefit from this incident that the Prophet Allah Sallam, the human being, he forgets us, we forget. The only difference is that what Allah Subhanahu wa Taala has raised him over us, and whatever he will deliver, Allah will make it easy for him to deliver that thing without forgetting it. So we also benefit that in every, when we are doing the sujood sawi, there will be what?
there will be takbir. There will be what? There will be takbir. And what I can appear that this sujood sawi is what? Two prostration. And two prostration, so will be what? Before taslim, with respect to this particular incident. And we can also say what? If there is any other omission apart from what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has committed here. The next one is one Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu قال صلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إحدى صلاتي العشي ركعتين. Abu Hurairah said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم prayed one of the two salah of the Ashi. Ashi is what? After Zawal, that is during immediately the Zohar prayer comes in up till Maghrib time. The period between these two, that is Zohar and what? Maghrib is called Ashi. Ashida, now? Yes. Ashida Salatay ila Ashi. Rakatayn, he prayed two raka. ثم سلم إمام التسليم ثم إلى ثم قام إلى خشبة في مقدم المسجد. After that he went to a wood or so in front of the mosque, inside the mosque. فوضع يده عليها. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم placed his hand on it. وفي القوم أبو بكر وعمر. Among the people who came behind him were Abu Bakr and Umar. فَهَابَ أَنْ يُكَلِّمَهُ. Both of them, they respected the Prophet of Allah to the extent at which they could not speak to him concerning this thing. وَخَرَجَ تَرَعَانُ النَّاسِ. Those people who are eager to go out, you know, they went out. Yeah? They what? Concluded that Salat as what? They reduced to two rakah. فقال قصرت الصلاة الزيوري صلاة من رجوس التركة وفي القوم رجل يدعوه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذا اليدين. Among the people there is a man, or there was a man called ذو اليدين. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم will call him ذو اليدين because the man is hands are long. فقال يا رسول الله. This man was bold enough to meet the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, O Messenger of Allah, قصرت الصلاة. Has the salat reduced? And Anasit and Kusrat al-Salat, have you forgotten? Or the salat has been reduced. فَقَالَ لَمْ أَنْسَى وَلَمْ تُقْصَرْ. The Prophet of Allah said what? I did not forget, and the salat has not been what? Reduced. I did not forget, and the salat has not been what? Reduced. Then, فَقَالَ بَلَى. The man said, yes, Kodna Sita, you have forgotten. One of the two will happen. If you have not forgotten, then the salat has been reduced. If the salat has not been reduced, then you have forgotten. The man said, what? Bala, Kodna Sita. Fasolla raka'ataini. So the Prophet of Allah Salaam prayed two more raka. ثم سلم ثم كبر بسم الله أكبر ثم سجد مثل سجوده أو أطول. In a bit frustration, very close to that one, or just like that one, or even much longer. ثم رفع رأسه وكبر. In a bit his head and make what takbir. متفق عليه. This hadith is reported by Bukhari and Muslim. واللفظ للبخاري. The wording is what for Bukhari. وفي رواية Muslim, in one in the report of Muslim, it is said is what Salat al-Asr. Unlike what? Yeah, one of what Bukhari, which is what Ihda Salatay al-Ashi, one of the two, at least is it Zuhr or Asr? Why in that of Muslim said what? It is what? Asr. In one report of Muslim, said it is Asr. Wali Abu Dawud, in the report of Abu Dawud, فَقَالَ أَصَبْتَ أَذُ الْيَدَيْنِ. It is contained here that Islam asked the people, what Zuliyadain has said, is it correct? fa awmahu so di tipu eno suggested the people supported that by doing imam by alluding aynam wa yafi sahihain in the report of sahihain that is Bukhari and Muslim it is there lakin bilaf bi faqal that what they said one in the report of Abu Dawood he said what they alluded in the report of what sahihain he said faqalu they said wa fi riwayatin lahu in one report ولم يزد حتى يقنه الله تعالى ذلك did not prostrate until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exactly him. Now what benefits from this hadith of Abu Huraira which is different from hadith of Abdullah ibn Buhayna is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is basharun is human being he forgets at what he forgets to benefit that. So we also benefit that this happens between Zuhr or Asr. That is, it's either Zuhr or Asr. The fact that reporters, they could not get the exact one, or they didn't mention the exact one, does not mean that well, the hadith is not authentic. As long as the shade of the hadith is authentic, and the thing that is that is called as a tabi'i one is not the most important thing in the hadith. The most important thing in the hadith is that what? There is forgetfulness. Eh? So, and there is what? Sujood. But is it Zuhr or Asr? That is not what? The most important thing. So, I can't, because of that, the hadith is what? Is da'if. It happens to you. It happens to me. You may say what? You know, it said so and so one day. You can't remember the exact day. You know that somebody said something, but you cannot remember me saying whether Wednesday or Monday or Wednesday or Thursday, I can't remember. But you remember the most important thing that that person said. So it is the most important thing that you are after. Is it Azuri or Asik that is not the most important thing? Then you also benefit from the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is somebody that is respected by his companions. The closest person to him, who is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, could not even approach him because of what? The respect. Not because he shy away from the truth, but because of what? The respect that he has for him. The difference between Haifa, that is to have respect for somebody, that, you know, you hardly look into the face of the person. Because of the ibadah. That doesn't mean that when it has to do with what? Telling the person the truth, you won't tell him the truth. But you have what? Respect for him. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had respect for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he hardly challenged him on things. Because he believed that whatever he did is what? Correct. So Umar at times would challenge the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another example for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, you know, being having respect for the Prophet of Allah and was when Islam was away and Abu Bakr was leading the people. So and the Prophet of Allah came and people saw the Prophet of Allah, so they were clapping. They were clapping, asking Abu Bakr, so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu now turns back and he saw the Prophet of Allah said to him, continue to lead the Salah. So Abu Bakr of the line, you like raised his hand and he watched, he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he did not continue. After the Salah, the Prophet of Allah said, what is wrong with you? Abu Bakr when I asked you to continue Salah, he said, ما ينبغي لابن أبي كحافة أن يصلي بين يدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So does not defeat the son of Abu Kuhafa to lead the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. It's not haram, but he has respect for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So that was our area. There are a lot of things like that Abu Bakr the Lion will show respect to the Prophet Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the rest of the companions. So a lot of them, they could not reach him. But Dhul-Qa'dayn went to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said to him, أَقُسْرَةُ الصَّلَاةِ أَمْ نَسِيْتَ نَسِيْتَ أَقُسْرَةُ الصَّلَاةِ But the Salah did use all your forgot. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sure. He said what? لَمْ أَنْتَ وَلَمْ تُقْسَ And he did not forget. That's an evidence that what you are sure of, if you know what, you shouldn't give it up. What you are sure of, you shouldn't give it up. If you take a position on a matter and you have not been convinced that that position is what is wrong, you don't have to leave that position. You don't have to leave what position. Maintain your position until it is proven to you that this position is what is wrong. So the Prophet of Allah did not take what Dhul-Qa'dayn said immediately. When he said, and as it and kusurat is said, لَمْ أَنْكَ وَلَمْ تُكْسُرْ نَا رِفَرْتَ كُلُّ ذَلِكَ لَمْ يَكُمْ So none of the two happened. So, but Dhul-Qa'dayn was also sure, he said, Bala. Because Nasir said, no, you are forgotten. So, the Prophet of Allah would not give up what he was sure of. Dhul-Qa'dayn would also not give up what he was sure of. That this thing, no, you have finished Surah. And now conclusion is that what? If you have said that Salat has not been reduced, definitely the other one has happened. And that is what you have forgotten. So benefit from that. Now whatever you take as your position, until you are sure of that thing, don't give it up until you are certain that thing is wrong. And that's why you see some scholars, when they give fatwa on some issues, they are not threatened by the claim of Ijma that people claim. No, some scholars, so to say, people with what Ijma. They say this period is Ijma on it. So, you see the scholars who are what? Students of evidence. They say we are not threatened by what? The claim of Ijma. Where is the Ijma? So-and-so person has said so-and-so. So-and-so person has said so-and-so. Where is the Ijma that you are claiming? Because there is a lot of claim of Ijma. If you want to terrorize your opponent, just say what? There is what? Ijma. So he feels what? Frightened. And all just honestly, you know, swallow his what? So when you say there is Ijma on it. So some people, they use that to what? To frighten people. Take for instance, when you say, okay, it's Ijma that is Niqab is wajib. Where's the Ijma? So and so. So don't say what? There is Ijma. Say what? This is your position. So scholars who are what? Students of evidence. They are not frightened. They what? The power of Ijma. And this is what Imam Shawkani said. That Ijma is only used to threaten those who are what? Who are not, who do not follow the evidence. They don't be frightened by the Ijma that people claim. Now there is Ijma. Ijma being referred to here is what? The Ijma of the Quran and Sunnah and the Salaf al-Salih. Take for example, it's Ijma that Salat al-Zuhr is Amani Raka. So this type of Ijma exists. There is Ijma that Zina is haram. Have you? There is Ijma that Salat al-Jumma is what? And so on. Ijma like this. If you have evidence in the Quran and Sunnah, and none of the Salaf al-Salih have what? But the Ijma of the people of Usul al-Fiqh, the certain people should gather, when people gather at a particular time, on a particular issue, you now arrive at what? And that's the ruling that this is Ijma. This type of Ijma has never occurred. Has never occurred. So it's just what? It's theory. It's only what? A theory. Because when you say scholars gather on an issue, you invite scholars from Nigeria, from Pakistan, from Saudi Arabia, they all meet at the gathering. he discussed the issue. What is the evidence? All those who are what, who are present there are the only scholars of the Muslim in the world. And what is your evidence that all those who are that sitting to watch, they all agree? And that's why most of the Sikh councils, they will say what? This is the Quran of the most, that is the decision of most of those who are what? Present. Sometimes there are people who will not agree with that among those who are present. But it is better to follow what the majority of the scholars have said on issue, particularly if it is what buttressed with evidence. Singling oneself out of what the majority of the scholars are upon without strong evidence is a sign of what? Destruction. So, we can appease that from that. Then the Prophet went back and what he added to the salah. That is another evidence that what whoever leaves a pillar should bring it back. Not like the hadith of Abdullah ibn Buhayra, where the Prophet did not bring tashawud back and did not bring what? The sitting. He didn't bring them back. But in this case, he went back, he brought those things back because I what? Pillar. The Aruknu, the Fatah is what? The pillar there. Likewise, Ruku, Sojoj. So a lot of pillars have been missed. So he went back and he brought them. When he brought them, what did he do? So the Prophet Allah Sallam, Thumma Kabbara, he did the Gir, Thumma Tajara Mithla Sojoj, he did Sojoj. Similar to the ordinary sujood, our atwala, or what? Longer. Summa rofa arasahu, he raised his head, or kabbara, saying Allahu Akbar. Now guys, something very important here. When we were doing takbir, we have said this before, where are you supposed to do your takbir? Some people believe that when you are, particularly for instance, you are doing takbir to go to ruku, some mistakenly they misunderstood Sheikh Al-Albani saying what? You do the takbir while standing and you finish it while standing. Have you? But that is not what the Sheikh is saying. That is what misunderstanding. What the Sheikh is saying is that what you do Allahu Akbar now while standing, but not that you will conclude it while standing. Because most scholars, Allahu A'lam, has said that. So you say the takbir while standing, but you won't finish it. And that's why Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen explained it in his Sharh al-Mumti and Fathuddin Jalal al-Ikrami explained the way this will be said. Now, the way it appears to us, it will appear to us if the Sheikh is saying we should stay standing and conclude while standing. But the evidence against that is that what? The Sheikh, in Sisrat al-Hadith al-Sahi'ah, brought what Imam al-Nawawi says, that you say takbir, Imam al-Nawawi's position is that what? You now lengthen the takbir until you get to the next pillar. He now said that is what? Not correct. He now quoted Ibn Hajar. So when he quoted what Ibn Hajar said, Ibn Hajar's position is that what? You say it what? White standing, but you end it before getting to the. So he went against what Imam al-Nawawi said, but he never condemned what Ibn Hajar said. That means he agrees with him in that, and he disagrees with what Imam al-Nawawi said. So when he says here that Summa Rafa Arafa wa Kabbara does not mean what? After he has finished raising his head and he was already seated, then not say Allahu Akbar. So it should not be understood that way. That is as was raising his head. What he will say Allahu Akbar. So conclude before he gets to the next sitting. Yes, it should be concluded. Not to be concluded while still in sujood, and not to be delayed till when you are sitting. As some people will do, when they are almost prostrating, that is when they will say what? Allahu Akbar from standing. And when you ask them, they tell you that, you know, we don't want some people to do the fight that before us. That's why we delay it. You will almost get to the prostration position. No, that is also wrong. You say it as you are moving from standing, then you say it and you finish it before you get to what? To sujood. So the next. So then we also benefit from is that in the report that the Prophet Allah asked them was Zuliyah then correct that they now what they alluded in that there is no harm there. When you are praying, somebody asks you something, you may allude, maybe by nodding or by using your hands to, you have evidence for that. But in the other report, we have that what? The code in. So that means that they spoke, the person also what? Spoke, Julia then also spoke. And we know that speaking while in Salah is what? Is haram, and it's one of the things that what? Invalidate one Salah. We are not say that their Salah has what? Be invalidated here. Can one say that? Why can't one say that? Because the Prophet, we have evidence that the Prophet Allah built on the Salah. So how do we now relate this with the hadith of what? Nuhina and Salah and his kalam? Huh? That we are prevented from what? Talking while in Salah. So how do we relate this with you?
The one is spoken for that, which the Prophet of Islam is the action of the Prophet and the Prophet. So we are the only one which prevented us from speaking with the command or prohibition. So if you take precedence over the action.
That means you are saying the position that was the Salah has become what? Invalid. But the plan deals on it.
When they spoke of the Salah,
yes.
During that period, for the correction of the Salah.
It's for the correction of Salah. So you are establishing that any statement that is for the correction of the Salah is allowed. Sorry?
No.
Okay. Now what about the statement that is said but it's not for the correction of the Salah, but it just comes sahwan, correctfully?
No.
Maybe just forgetfully you just talk while you're in Salah, forgetfully. Salah is valid? Because of what? Forgetfulness. So, talking in Salah will be treated as what? If it is deliberate and is not for the correction of what? The Salah, then the Salah is invalid. If it is deliberate, but it's for the correction of the Salah, a lot of scholars of the opinion that what does not invalidate the Salah. Then if it's something that is not for the correction of the Salah, but it's something that what that is a result of forgetfulness, this also does not invalidate the Salah. So,
yes.
Friends between
light talking, not of forgetfulness, long talking, excessive talking, means that of forgetfulness.
Yes, if you say if it is long, if it is there, scholars also disagree on that. No, because what happens between the Prophet of Allah Tram and Zuli Aden, and you know, it was a lengthy one.
It is to do maslahat al-salat, but it's only come to do maslahat al-salat.
Now, maybe it's not to correct the salat as well. So, scholars disagree on it. That was what he used to regulate what is long and what is what short. But that's why Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah Ibn Hazmi and some others of the team that saying you have to commit to that to do the sawi that maybe you forget to do or to do the sawi after you have left the mosque. Some say if you have left the mosque you have to pay back the salah. Some people took them up saying but Islam has already gone out of the mosque. So if you repay the salah, it's okay. Sometimes you have not gone, if you have only gone out of the mosque, but it has not been long. So what will you use to determine the longness or shortness of it? So that's why I think the Sayyid Tamir said, no. So you saw, if you have to do, even if it is after years, you'll have to do it. Why does who have said okay, longness and the shortness, they say it is long? That means if that is something that is compulsory, maybe it is before you have not completed some part of the this thing, you have to repeat the salah. So we are still coming to that. But what we are saying is what? If that thing is a result of what? Forgetfulness. So to say, to limit it with maybe 2 words, 3 words, all this also needs evidence for that. So Allahu A'lam, so we'll stop here, inshallah.
My first question is, when Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to use the salat, did he start with the Quran in the ground? The second one is concerning the children of Abdul Qadir. He said, who was he? There was a case when the chief of Lagos came to Bolaji for an occasion on Jumadi. So when somebody now said the chief of Lagos is not to be led by any other imam, that he is to be, can we use that to be as an
explanation? No, the question for that, when I think
people
today came to Nigeria, he left his Juma
at the mosque.
Maybe out of respect
for the
people.
Out of respect? I don't know. Well, the first question, the takbir that you said, so they consider it as what takbir to the Ihram. That takbir that you said. Because you see, well, what was it called? Sujud al-Sahwi as something on his own. You get it now? And that's why they interpret that takbir as what part of as if it takes the position of the glass of the cross. When we are explaining the hadith of Kanata Tanghiman, the shaitan, so this will be further explained. And the imam, there is no evidence here. Because if Abu Bakr al-Dalani did not lead the Prophet of Allah, other companions led him. Abdurrahman bin Auf led the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first man needs one raka. Yeah? Need the first raka. So Abdurrahman had already started what? Praying, leading the people. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, he joined them and he needs one raka. So as contained in authentic hadith. So there is no evidence. So people can lead the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hadith that says that they can lead the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith is da'if. So you can lead the Prophet of Allah salam, only that Abu Bakr the Lion who was watched, you know, he had respect to the extent that he would not like to lead the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So there is no evidence whatsoever that in that. Then when you can Salatul Jumu'ah, you can ask a Musafir to lead Salatul Jumu'ah. There is nothing wrong in that, maybe as a result of what given that person respect, maybe he should lead the people. Though the owner of the house, or the sultan of a country, or the president of the country is the one that has the right to lead, even if his recitation is not as good as the vision of what of other people. So if, for instance, there are those who okay, want to be the chief imam of Abuja, so there is nothing wrong with Islamic. In fact, that is what the normal thing. Because the Aimma of the past, people like Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, people like Al-Hajjaj, all these people, they will lead people. So they have that companion, Abdullah ibn Umar of the land, who prayed behind Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. If we don't pray behind him, then you are gone. As long as he's a Muslim and what there is a mosque used by what he said, if he wants to, don't tell us that he doesn't know, it's not a happy, it's not this, there are people who are kuffar. But ignorantly, there are some people who say this, that no, I have to do more than you, so I can't pray behind you. Who are you? Are you the imam of what? Of the mosque? If not, even if you have to do more than that person, you are free to what? To pray behind him. Al-Imam Ibn Qudama in his book Al-Mughni explains this very well. So, whether you have Hindu more than somebody or not, that doesn't mean anything. As long as that person is the Imam of that mosque, for instance, or is the owner of that house. Say, for instance, now I visit you in your house. Maybe I memorize more than you. So, we want to pray in Jama'at. Maybe something happened in the mosque, or there is no mosque around that area. I want to pray. So you are the one to lead. The owner of the house is the one to lead. Even if I'm what? I have more izu than you. The Prophet of Allah said, وَلَا يَوْمَنَّ رَجُلْ الرَّجُلَ فِي بَيْتِي أَوْ فِي السُّلْطَانِ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ. So a man should not lead another man in his house except his what? With his permission. All these are things that we ought to understand. So if they say students should lead the Imam as favorite, not because to lead as what? Can recite better than that person.
Imam does not have, or that cannot recite such a fast.
Now this we have explained on several occasions that if the Imam does not know how to recite without the fast, some scholars will say that you can't pray behind such an Imam. Some scholars will say we have to look at the areas where the Imam makes mistakes. If the mistake of the Imam is a mistake that alters the meaning of the verses, then you cannot pray behind him. So some will say if the mistake is not a mistake, if the mistake alters the meaning, though this person is not doing it deliberately, you can pray behind him. So there are about five opinions on this issue. The one that I personally know I seem towards is that if it alters the meaning of Surah Al-Fatiha, for instance, somebody who says Ahdina, Ahdina, Surah Al-Mustaqim. The difference between Ahdina and Ihdina. Ihdina guide us, Ahdina give us, as in give us as a gift. So there is a difference between what? The two. So somebody who said what? Sirat al-Mustaqim. The difference between what Sirata and what Sirata. Or somebody say, Wallahaleen, or something like that. So this Wallahu A'lam is the opinion of Sheikh bin Baz and the opinion of Najna Daima and some other scholars. However, Sheikh Solomon Usaymin was of the opinion that you have to look at that person. Is the person doing it deliberately, or that is the level he can go? Huh? Like what Sheikh Al-Bang Rahimahullah in Silsilat al-Uda is of this position. Sheikh Salim Ilali also said that if you can find another place where you can pray in your society, if there is no, if most of your imams are like that, you pray. So scholars took this position, this also took this position, but I personally, I see towards the opinion of those who say you can't pray behind such an imam if the mistake that he commits is a mistake that alters the meaning of Surah Al-Fatiha. They are particular about Surah Al-Fatiha because it's a pillar. Ibn Hazmi also favored the position of Sheikh Al-Albani. I think I've mentioned this before, that you can pray behind them. And his own argument is that, can you pray behind an imam that does not, I cannot stand? He said, if your answer is yes, you can pray behind an imam that can't stand, that if your imam is sitting and you are standing, don't you know that imam has left what is a pillar? He said, if you can pray behind such a person, then you should pray behind an imam that is not making mistake in the section of Fatiha, as long as it was not what? It was not deliberate. So that is his own argument. But those who say you can't pray, they say no. The difference between Al-Ajzu and Al-Amd, something that, you know, you are what, incapacitated, you can't do it. Somebody who is not sitting, praying sitting, that is what he can do. He doesn't have opportunity. But somebody who is reciting wrongly, he has the opportunity to learn the what, correct citation, but what, he refuses. So this is what Al-Imam Nawawi used in order to refute the argument of those who say. So what I'm saying essence is that what, this is a controversial issue. This is my own position. Somebody who takes another position, there is no quarrel, there is no what, fight among the scholars on that. Now, such a person should be approached and, you know, you speak with him to know the reason why he's doing that. Maybe he's doing that ignorantly, thinking that the cool is an address to the Prophet of Allah, and since the Prophet is no more alive, say what? Oh Allah, Ahad. So, you should address him and let him say something so that you raise your judgment upon what the open discussion that you have with him. If you refuse, then don't bring the answer to possible. Because you have to establish that you have to decide that.
What are you saying that it's not possible?
Then kul is not an eye on its own. It's not an eye on its own. It's part of an eye.
An imam right to kneel down has only given the experience and lead the children of this political that person enter on. If we buy a car or want to have a house, want to have a house or just do something good, can we call people like our mothers and our fathers to come and pray and things like that?
Okay.
Our actually of our
friends. In fact, is your question on just a different question? Now, the first question, can
a man write in will that this is very property and we should put
them in? No, once somebody dies, the property is no more his for us. So the property belongs to the Arif. While our fear, the Arif, the one who is going to inherit, we don't do what we are for him. So that is what he has to do is after the death of the person. Say for instance, someone is dying and say, this my child, give him or her so and so after my death. No. That will not be implemented because now fear is the one who will inherit. The father does not write a will that inheritance that he should inherit so and so should not be given to such a person. If it is before his death, now can somebody say because before he died, he gathered his property, can he distribute it before among his what? His children? Yes, he can do that. Now, but doing that, scholars now have two opinions. Some scholars have the opinion that he has to do it the Zakari Mithu as an Unfayeh. You get it now? That means twice what the woman who gets is what the man who gets. Now somebody, the reason they say that is that somebody may want to, you know, knock the rule of Allah. Now say, okay, Allah said that you should give the women, should give the men twice what the women take. My children, they will not be happy with this. So what I will do is that, okay, I will distribute this thing during my lifetime so that I will give them equal. So those scholars, they say, no, you are proven if you are going to distribute it during your lifetime, it must be what? The way it will be distributed after what? Your death. That is the position. Okay, I'm coming to that. So, the other scholars have the opinion that what, if it is during your lifetime, you can do it, give them equal. If it is during your life, you distribute everything. Now, not say that, okay, I'm raising my children. So, this one has attended Harvard University. So I want this one. This is the money that this one will use to attend Harvard University. No, you can't do that. If it is necessity, what is their need? You give them according to their need. When you have the one who is in need for something, you give him. That one is not part of what being judged among them. Because this one is already in need of this thing, so is not in need of it. One of your children, for instance, now is in need of a wife. You marry a wife for him. He's in need of a car. You buy a car for him because he's in need of it. Just because you have bought a car for the one who's in need of a car, then a baby who is what, 5 months old, they have to give such a baby. No, that is not what the hadith is talking about. The hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir, that you should be what, just among your children, that is not what it's talking about. Know that when you do this for this, you have to do it for them. If one is in need and the other one is not in need, get it now. Take for instance, this one, you have a daughter or a child that is what, slim, and the other one is fat. So when you buy 5 years for this one, that doesn't mean you should buy 5 years for this. No, you give them according to their needs. So that one does not fall under being just. In fact, just is what be for you to do it that way, give them according to their needs. For you to now say that, okay, I've sent out this money that should be taken care, it will be taking care of what, their education. That one is not. You give them where they need arises. I hope this is clear.
So why do you just apply to the woman? You also apply to the woman.
Yes, sir.
Why? If one is working in the idea, she needs a car. The one that is working to
need two wives. Some wives?
Yes.
The same thing, you give them according to their needs. Need is different from what saying you are not just. This one needs to give them their needs.
For example, I'm not playing with one of the children. You are not playing with her, and you want to like use that to punish our, you know, chastiser. Can you do that? You buy clothes for one, but because you want to,
no, 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 no. That's not correct as well. It's not correct. You shouldn't do that because it will cause a kind of enmity between them. So that is one. Even after that, there are some parents that will say, okay, this person should not inherit from my property. I've disowned you. You can't disown the child unless Sharia disowns that child. But for you to say, I've disowned you, so don't give him or her from my property. If you die, that property is no more yours. So she will inherit as long as she has not apostatized. Even if she's what? She's he or she is rude to you. So you will have to inherit from your property. That is clear. Then if they are still alive, say that you give this, you won't give this, rather to punish him or her. It's not okay to do that because you bring what kind of enmity. So try to caution or do some other things as well to teach that person or rectify him or lower.
And invest in somewhere that this investment is for my children's education, whether I die or I'm alive. The investments have been running before you even die. Talking about that story. And then you die. And we wish to share that investment that happened in property.
If you say this thing is for the education of, that is what we are talking about. Don't set out a fund that this thing is for the education of women, the ones that are, no, you give them when their needs arise. Not that this thing has been, because when you die, those things become what, part of the property to be inherited, because you are the owner of that thing.
Even
if you invested for in the name of the children, because when you die, it belongs to you. Because the person that you are given this thing is not yet the need of that person. So when the need arises, then you give them according to their needs. This will not be considered as what of iba, that you are using that to carry their needs. So that is Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen as what. Various fatwa on this thing that people should. And those who are inviting us to all this, so and so fund, so they will invite you to do things like that. It's not. It's not okay.
The second question: on if you buy a new car, you want to start moving your house, now cost to come and pay for you or something like that.
If anything good happens to you, there is no harm you can call people to eat as long as what
there is no text that says what this thing is there.
Yes, prayer. There is nothing wrong in prayer.
But what type of prayer are they going to do? That is where the are they going to read Yasin 31 or Yasin 1? So that would be what did. But you invite them, they eat, and when they eat, they also supplicate for you. There's no harm to this. So these scholars have allowed this. Sheikh Pauzana, the Fatwa, and Sheikh Al-Albani, Sheikh Imbas, Lajna Daima. There's nothing wrong in this. In fact, I the name given to somebody building a house. And trying to do the house for me, there is a name I cannot recollect, the brother Nakira or so, that is given to that thing in Arabic. But you buy a car, you invite people to it. You cannot under the. But what type of prayer are they going to do? That is what. You cannot say you are reciting the Quran, you supplicate, may Allah make it peaceful for you, but then you have to recite to us in so and so. You have to. The reason why people have introduced things like this is because our iman is weak. We believe that if you have not recited the whole Quran or if you have not recited in Yasin or so and so number, your prayer will not be accepted. People will come to the Prophet of Allah and will just supplicate for them, may Allah put baraka in this, and that will be all. But many of our companions could do that. We have narrated the case of Sa'd ibn Abu Waqqas that he supplicated that may Allah assist you, may Allah give you tawfiq and so on. And people they started inviting one another, come. They are coming to pray with my wife. And when those people came, he said, Allah no put baraka in so on. Because he has seen me that people are not turning into what? Something else. Now don't make me an idol. Because people have seen that, okay, when I subjugate people that the prayer is affected, he now turned into somebody that will be Babaladwa. So, that is for the time. When? Okay, ask your question.
My question is that, for example, Allah that you're talking about,
can you
say that he was talking
in Salah
because they are
saying
that
Salah when
you
walk into
something
about
that
to be the ground. So, and Israel, that he was white sitting, that Israel is considered to be white sitting. Yeah? When he wanted to do this. But the Salah was not complete yet. Though the Hanafiya, they are trying to argue something like that. But what the scholars are, majority of the scholars are upon was the explanation and they knocked off all the arguments of the Hanafiya. Now the companions that they agreed on that thing, that is not agreed. Individuals of the companions can make a mistake. So, like those who among the companions who did something that you can say, okay, this thing is very close to, let's say, revolt. Some of them made mistakes. I cannot liken a companion to somebody who is not a companion. You get it now? So, a lot of companions can have clear ahadith on issues like this. So those ahadith are also supported by the actions of what? The statement and the position of those other companions. So when Ibn Taymiyyah or any other person said about that he does not have what Ijma on it, that it was later that Ijma,
What they were referring to is that the evil of that thing became what? Known, that revolting against the ruler is not what? Something to be done. And the evil is so rampant, so clear, that any person who does it is considered to be treading the path of the Khawarij. Unlike during the time of the companions, that you know, the revolt, there was not much revolt, so then that is so clear, this person, particular person, has what? Made the mistake. You don't have to bring issues, examples, and you bring examples like that of Hussein with Yazid and some other examples like that. But nobody said that what Hussein did was what? Was right. At the same time, they fought Yazid killing Hussein. So, and many things, because there were some companions who are what? Greater than Hussein, radiallahu anhu, who never watched the vote against the ruler. Abdullah ibn Umar of the line was alive. Anas ibn Malik of the line was alive. Ajad ibn Yusuf blasted him to the extent that he disgraced him in the midst of people. He never said people should watch the vote against him. To the extent that some people came to him as contained Sayyid Bukhari, and he told them that be patient, that there is no day except that what the following one is what is worse. This is how it will continue until you meet your Lord. But I heard this from your prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So a lot of companions like that. So the one of Hussein radiallahu anhu, what would be a mistake on his part, and that was why his own son said that he warned him not to go to Kufa when he was moving. So that is wallahu alam. Please, when the deadline for sharing the estate of a dead person? The ruling that says this is the deadline. The ruling that says this is what the deadline. What is left is the property of those living. So they should share it among themselves in the right way. In the way Allah SWT has stated in the Quran. So inshallah, we stop here. Next week, inshallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we can share my life.